RNZ Pacific, kia ora ana. I'm Moatula Epitaylor with a bulletin of news. Papua New Guinea media paint a grim ongoing picture of full morgues due to the surge in COVID-19 cases. Transmission of the Delta strain of COVID is understood to be widespread in several provinces, particularly in densely populated urban areas. Hospitals in the biggest cities, including Port Moresby, Leigh, Mount Hagen and Goroka, are reported to be full, as deaths from the virus have become a daily occurrence. The mortuary at Port Moresby General Hospital is full, with 300 bodies there at present, as it has reached full capacity, and now bodies are being stored at another unspecified location. Papua New Guinea's health minister says officers responsible for the wastage of 4,000 AstraZeneca vaccines meant for Medang province last week will be charged. The vaccines were left at Port Moresby Airport for 4 days, which exposed them to heat. Johnny Blades reports.
The minister, Jelta Wong, is blaming a lack of communication between the Department of Health and the Medang Provincial Health Authority for the vaccines being left at the airport to become unusable. They were discarded when they finally arrived in Medang last Friday. Mr. Wong told the Post Courier that those in charge of this mishap would be charged accordingly. He says the government won't take this oversight lightly because it infringes on people's right to vaccinate. The newspaper was unable to reach Health Secretary Osborne Liko for an explanation.
China has announced that it will establish a climate change response office with Pacific Island countries. This was announced as the last item on a joint statement issued by Beijing following the first China-Pacific Island countries foreign ministers meeting. The online meeting was attended by foreign ministers from 8 Pacific countries: Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Niue, Tonga, Kiribati, Federated States of Micronesia, Solomon Islands and Vanuatu. In the statement, China says it will set up a China-Pacific Island Countries Climate Action Cooperation Centre and continue to assist Pacific Island countries in enhancing capacity building to tackle climate change. No further details were offered. A major business lobby says the New Zealand government's traffic light COVID-19 framework and extended support package provide the certainty many firms need to make plans and keep afloat. The chief executive of Business New Zealand, Kirk Hope, says the unknown length of Auckland's lockdown was causing a lot of stress, and many small business owners were remortgaging properties to buy themselves time. However, he's urging the government to provide more detail about what workplaces will be able to do to introduce vaccine mandates under the new framework.
The government can provide businesses with certainty if they do put those mandates in place that they'll be protected from legal action. And I think that's really important. If we think about Delta, it is highly transmissible. There are very few workplaces that would not be at risk.
The Hotel Council wants the New Zealand government to provide urgent, targeted financial support for tourism businesses until the border is reopened to international visitors. Its strategic director, James Doolan, says the lack of clarity about the international border in the new traffic light framework is frustrating. He says the Auckland lockdown is adding to hurt for businesses that now rely on domestic tourists. The US President Joe Biden has raised eyebrows by saying America would come to Taiwan's defence if it were attacked by China. Here's the BBC's Michael Bristow.
Mr. Biden's comments represent a departure from a long-standing US policy of being vague about its commitments to Taiwan. That policy aims to maintain the status quo. It discourages self-governing Taiwan from declaring independence because it doesn't know if it can rely on American support. It also encourages inaction in Beijing. China believes Taiwan is its own territory and wants unification. Open US support for Taiwan might push it towards taking military action to fulfil that goal. The White House says there's been no change in US policy, but Mr. Biden's comments will certainly add to tension between Washington and Beijing.
Pfizer says its COVID-19 vaccine is more than 90% effective in children. The United States Centers for Disease Control has also endorsed third or booster shots for adults. RNZ's US correspondent Sarah Walton reports.
Pfizer says a trial of its vaccine on 5 to 11-year-olds shows it's 91% effective at preventing symptomatic infections from the virus. The Food and Drug Administration will now debate the findings next week. If regulators give the go-ahead, the first children could be vaccinated next month. Meanwhile, the Centers for Disease Control has said adults should receive booster shots of the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson shots a month after endorsing a Pfizer booster. New infections are now falling in most parts of the US, but around 75,000 cases are still being reported each day.
An air quality scientist in New Zealand says it's crucial to keep rogue air monitoring out of classrooms amid the efforts to combat COVID-19. NIWA says it's working with the Education Ministry on a plan for installing air quality monitoring equipment in schools. It wants the technology used to be consistent so that the data collection can be systematic. The Institute's principal scientist, Ian Longley, says having quality data and guidelines on what to do with it are vital.
We want to avoid rogue, poor quality instruments being brought into schools that are giving inaccurate data and leading to poor decision making.
Ian Longley says NIWA has been advising the ministry for the past fortnight on how to introduce monitoring properly. The Pacific is likely to experience a rare doubling up La Nina in the coming months. La Nina is the phenomenon where the trade winds become stronger, warming waters in the western Pacific and causing the sea surface temperatures in the central and eastern Pacific to cool. These conditions can mean cooler and above normal rainfall in the west compared to the eastern Pacific. Climate models and prediction tools used by the Pacific National Meteorological and Hydrological Services show this phenomenon is likely this summer. This means countries such as Kiribati, Nauru and Tuvalu may experience below normal rainfall, while higher rainfall is likely in Fiji, Niue, Palau, Papua New Guinea, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Tonga and Vanuatu. The Lieutenant Governor in the Northern Marianas, Arnold Palacio, has formally split from the Governor, Ralph Torres, saying he will run for Governor in next year's elections. Mr. Palacio's running mate will be the Mayor of Saipan, David Apatang, with the two running as independents under the slogan, Rebuilding Trust. The Lieutenant Governor said they couldn't keep quiet any longer about the issues besetting the Torres administration. He claims many people have lost confidence in the Torres administration. Torres had earlier announced his intention to seek re-election with Senator Vincent Sablan as his running mate. Tributes have been paid by Cook Islanders to a New Zealand doctor who died recently. Tauranga-based orthopaedic surgeon Andy McDermott is said to have operated on more than 3,000 Cook Islanders over 30 years. The Health Minister, Rose Tawke-Brown, says Dr. McDermott was a great friend of the Cook Islands and helped many of its people. She says when he returned to Tauranga, he would operate on Cook Islanders there, replacing their hips or knees, and would have them stay at his home while they recuperated. She says most recently he has done hip replacements for the Queen's representative, Sir Tom Masters, and local identity, Stephen Kavanagh, Captain Moko. In sport, Manu Samoa trio Jack Lamb, Alamanda Motunga and Henry Temestoas are the latest players to sign with Moana Pacifica ahead of the inaugural Super Rugby Pacific season. Veteran flanker Jack Lamb spent the past two seasons with Japanese club NEC Green Rockets before returning to New Zealand earlier this year, making his way back to Waikato for the 2021 NPC season. The former Captain is joined by County's Manukau, Alamanda Motunga and Canterbury's Henry Temestoas. All three played for Samoa against the Māori All Blacks and Tonga in June and July to help secure qualification for the next Rugby World Cup. More players are expected to be announced next week. And that's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.